2 Corinthians chapter 7, we're starting from verse 1.
Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God.
Now St. Paul is telling us, having therefore these promises. What promises? Last week, if you remember, we learned from the Word of God. The Word of God says that we are the children of God, and He promised us to come and dwell in us and protect us from all the dangers and harms. Our God is a good God. And so when He has made us His children, that's the greatest blessing anyone can have. Many people do not know what is the difference between the children of God and real children of God. Each and every person, they might be Hindu, Muslims, or any other religion. You know what they're thinking? We are all children of God. But we know, according to the Word of God, there is a difference between the children of God and real children of God. So we learn that we are born again children of God. Our names are written in heaven. We are belong to Him. And God promises no sickness, no disease can stay in the body of Christ. Because we learned last week, we are the temple of the living God. And God promised to stay in this temple. That's why St. Paul is starting this seventh chapter. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now, many people do not believe perfecting in the holiness. People think there is no one can live holy life. Our God is a holy God. But the Word of God said, without holiness, no one can even see God. So God has made a plan to make His people holy. And this is not in any other religion, but only in the Word of God. We can only sanctify it by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. There is no other cleansing power in the world but the blood of Jesus Christ. And once we come to the knowledge of the Son of God and we plead the blood of Jesus Christ for our lives, then we are cleansed from all filthiness. The blood of Jesus Christ has power not only to cleanse, but to protect. Do you know these children of God when they were in Egypt and the death angel was going to pass, but they said, keep the blood sign on the top of your doorpost. And the death angel will come and he'll pass over. That much power had the blood of the Lamb. How much power has the blood of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ? We are sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. But simply some people will think, oh, Jesus Christ died for us, so automatically everybody is cleansed. And that's why some people are thinking, we are living in the grace period. So people are thinking Jesus Christ died for the whole world, so the whole world will be automatically cleansed. But doesn't work that way.
Yes, sir.
Each and every person has to believe that He died for me. Amen. And you have to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord. I believe our God is a prayer-answering God. But before He can answer the prayer, we have to be living in His will. Amen. The Word of God says, whatever you ask according to His will, He will give it to you. And God will not answer the prayer of sinners. He answered the sinner's prayers only one prayer. Forgive my sins.
Yes.
Come into my heart.
Yes, sir.
Be my Lord and be my Savior. But if somebody doesn't want to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they can bang their head on the wall and bleed to death. God is not going to listen to prayer. Only prayer He listens that you have to receive Him as your Lord and Savior and ask Him to forgive your sins. Go to the 1 John chapter 1 and start reading from verse 7 to 9.
But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Amen. To cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Not a single sin is difficult for Jesus Christ to cleanse. Amen. But only one thing we have to do, we have to call upon Jesus and recognize that he has the power to wash away all our sins. And many people get confused. In the Old Testament, when somebody commits sin, they have to bring the blood sacrifice. When the blood sacrifice is given, their sins will be covered by the blood. And any time they commit sin again, their blood covering will be gone. And today many people pray like this, Lord, please cover my sins with your blood. We don't want covering sins. We want our sins to be gone forever. Amen. Washed away. Just read the Psalm 32 verse 1 and 2. We see there are two blessed people. Which part you want to get into?
Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered.
Okay. Now see, this is a blessing. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sins is covered. And somebody says, oh, I want my sins to be covered, and I want my transgression to be forgiven. This is a one kind of person. This is blessing. Go to the verse 2.
Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile.
Now see, this is the second kind of blessing. He said that that person is so blessed that God is saying, you are not even a sinner. Your sins are forgiven and there is no sin or guile in your spirit. That means when I see you, you are not a sinner. How it happened? There is a power in the blood of Jesus Christ. When God sees you through the blood of Jesus Christ, what he sees? Righteousness of God. No sin at all. No guilt at all. That's why we learn the word of God says, if you are in Christ Jesus, you are a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things became new. Not only that, if anyone be in Christ Jesus, that person is passed from death unto life and no condemnation. So that's the blessing God has given to us. So if somebody says, our God is holy, but we cannot be holy, tell them, God has provided the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And he will cleanse you and your sins will be forgiven and what? Forgotten. There will be no record of our sins. That is the blessing. Jesus Christ is coming very soon. And many people are waiting upon the Lord, and many churches and many denominations, they are believing the same thing. Jesus Christ is coming and he will take us home. But let's read 1 John chapter 3 and read first three verses, what the word of God is saying.
Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not.
When you are a children of God, you are different than the world. World does not recognize you because we don't mingle with them. We don't walk like them. We don't talk like them. We don't behave like them. We don't do sin like them. So they hate us. They said, you are some kind of nuts. But the word of God says, we are the children of God. Therefore, the world do not want to recognize us. Go ahead.
Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is.
Now, this is a very good hope. Jesus Christ is coming, and we are going to be like him. Is it going to be automatically? No. Let's read the verse 3.
And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure.
Every person has to purify himself as he is pure. How are you going to be purified? As we just learned, ask Jesus Christ, come into my life, be my Lord, be my Savior. Please forgive all my sins, wash me with your precious blood, cleanse me, Lord, and make me holy just like you. He will do it. We are living in this world, and we are an example to the whole world what Jesus Christ is all about. We are the witnesses of Jesus Christ. If you remember, we just finished in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, we says, St. Paul says, you are the letter. That means the whole world is going to read you. When we're walking, when we're talking, when we're behaving with other people, they're going to see, what kind of person is this? I don't see any foul language in this man's or woman's life. And they are so kind and loving, and they will recognize these people are something different. They are children of God. That's the reason the Word of God says we have to purify ourselves. So when we are living in this world, we are living as an example for others. Not only that, we walk like Him, we talk like Him, and we do what Jesus Christ did. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. Please read.
Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world.
Because as He is, who is He? Jesus. Because as He is, so are we in this world. What does it mean? We are just identical children of God. If Jesus can live a good life in this world, we can do the same. Why? Because we have the Spirit of God. We have the Spirit of Christ in us. We have the Spirit of God in us. We have the Holy Spirit in us. Why cannot we live like the children of God? That's why He has given us the Spirit to walk like Him and talk like Him and behave like Him and work like Him. Without having the love of God in us, we cannot be perfected. Let's go back to the 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Now you would know a little bit better what St. Paul is trying to say in this verse.
Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God.
Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. If you don't have the fear of God, then you are not going to live a holy life. You have to have respect to God, yes, to fear of God, then you can live a holy and clean life. If the children do not afraid of mother and father, they are not going to live good life. If the children have the respect of mother and father, they are going to listen to them, obey them. If I love God, then I'll follow Him. If you love Him, then you will obey His commandments. So if I love Jesus Christ, then I'm going to do what He tells me to do. It's not difficult if I love the Lord. So that's what He's saying. We have to be perfected in the fear of God. And the Word of God says what? Fear of God is what? The beginning of wisdom. So once you fear God, He gives us the godly wisdom to live in this world for His glory. Let's go to the 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 2.
Receive us. We have wronged no man. We have corrupted no man. We have defrauded no man. I speak not this to condemn you, for I have said before that ye are in our hearts to die and live with you.
Okay, now St. Paul is saying, listen, Corinthians, we did not do any wrong to you. Then why are we writing this letter, and why are we telling you to do things what you're supposed to do? He's saying, we love you so much that we like to die with you. We like to live with you. That's why we are writing this to you. Because if you love your children and then you punish them, they are going to say, you know, my mom and dad, they love me. That's why they are correcting me. If somebody knows that higher authority, your pastor or your boss or your mom or dad, they really love you, then they are going to correct you. If they don't love you, then they don't care what you do. They will allow you to do anything, and that is not the real love. If I love somebody, then I will care about that person. St. Paul is saying, we are not your enemy. We are loving you, and we want to die with you and live with you. We did not do any wrong to you. We did not corrupt you. We did not do anything to you. We did everything good for you. Verse 4.
Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation.
What he's trying to say, thank God that God has given me the holy boldness to tell you your faults and God's grace. Means it is not easy for a man of God to tell somebody you're doing something wrong. Only people who has the courage and they love person, they will tell. Some other churches you go, you can smoke, you can drink, you can do anything. Pastor can come to your house and smoke with you and drink with you. And you say, hey, that's a good church. That's a good pastor. He's loving and kind. I think that's not the loving and kind pastor. If the pastor is there, he said, please don't do it. You are the temple of God and you are destroying the temple of God and God will destroy you. If somebody says like that, oh, I don't want to hear it. St. Paul is saying, great is my boldness of speech towards you. God has given me great boldness to speak to you and tell you what God is telling. And great is my glorying of you. I am filled with the comfort and exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. So he's saying, this is not easy. Christian life is full of sorrow, trouble, and all kinds of troubles. But he said, I am so happy to correct you, to tell you with my own experience. And what is his message? He wants those people to live in holiness and live as God lives. Okay, verse 5.
For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. Nevertheless, God, that comforteth those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus. And not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you, when he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoiced the more. For though I made you sorry with the letter, I do not repent, though I did repent.
Yes,
for I perceive that the same epistle hath made you sorry,
yes,
though it were but for a season.
Okay, now what St. Paul is saying, when I went to Macedonia, and we already studied what happened in Macedonia. He got beaten. He was almost dead. All kinds of troubles came to him. He says, outwardly, we were all troubled. Means fighting and war going around. Inside my spirit, we were all afraid that we will make it or not. We were so discouraged. And in this kind of condition, he said, Titus came. And Titus started telling good thing. And he start comforting us. So in short, what he's trying to say, when you are in trouble, and you're going through all kinds of trials and troubles, somebody has to comfort you. And who can comfort you? The same person went through all kinds of trouble. Go to the 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and start reading from verse 3 and 4.
Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God.
So here the word of God is saying, our God is the God of all comfort. And so he comforted us in all our trials and tribulations and problems. So we will be able to comfort others. When you're going through problems, you say, why me, Lord? Why this happening to me? God is preparing you for His service. God is preparing you to comfort others. When you go through all kinds of trials and trouble and pain and sorrow, and then when you come through, you will be able to minister to other people. I went through that kind of road, and God protected me. God was with me in all my trials and tribulations. The word of God says, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. Our God will be always there in all fiery trials. You know the stories in Old Testament. Shadrach, Meshach, they were in fiery furnace. What happened? God was with them. Daniel was in lion's den. What happened? God was with him. So our God says, I will never leave you, never forsake you. He is always there. The word of God says, He never sleeps, never slumbers. Why? Because He is watching over you. Our God is always there to help you. So when you're going through trouble, instead of cursing God, what you say? You should praise God. Instead of saying bad about God, say, thank you, God, you are helping me. Rejoice in all the trials and troubles, and then you feel the presence of God. Paul just said when he was in Philippine jail, what did he do? Did he say, Lord, I just did signs and wonders and miracles, and why me here in this dungeon? He starts singing and praising God and glorifying God. And the prison door opened and God protected them. So the word of God is saying, all these trials comes, rejoice. He said, you know, we were a little bit down with all kinds of troubles. But Titus came and gave us a good news. What Titus was saying? Because Paul wrote a very harsh letter to the Corinthians. And if you remember, we read the Corinthians, we studied the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. There was a one man having his father's wife and living a filthy life. And nobody was saying anything. This happens to many churches. Even though they find out this person had a two girlfriends and living with the two girlfriends, but not a single pastor will say, why are you doing this? If you like one, get married. Kick the other one out. You cannot live like that. But some pastors, they will not have courage. They say, okay, we have three members coming. If I say something like that, all of these three will be gone. Mm. So you cannot compromise if you are a child of God. You have to tell the truth. And so Paul wrote a very harsh letter, and when that letter was written, they didn't like what Paul was telling them. So Paul sent Titus to those people and said, you know, Corinthians people are good people. They are going to take care of you. Don't worry, you go there and everything will be all right. When Titus went there, those people treat Titus very well, and Titus took care of these Corinthians, and now he comes to meet the Paul and say, everything is okay. The Corinthians people are not mad at you. They're happy, they're joyful. All the trouble went through, and they love you, and they care about you. They even cry for you. And so when that news came to Paul, he was comforted. Let's read a little bit further. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 8.
For though I made you sorry with the letter, I do not repent, though I did repent. For I perceive that the same epistle hath made you sorry, though it were but for a season.
Now St. Paul is saying, I made you sorry with the letter. I do not repent. And then again say, though I did repent. What does it mean? He said, I wrote you a letter. And that letter, he knew that the letter is going to prick them. But he said, instead of before he's writing, so shall I write this letter? If I write this letter, those people will be sorry. Shall I write or not? So he said, I repented. I'm sending this letter, but now I don't repent. What does that mean? A good thing happened that I wrote to you. If I didn't write it, you will not change in your mind. So I wrote it, I repented, but I do not repent. Means, I said, thank God. You gave me grace and the wisdom and the boldness to write to these people. What the word of God is trying to tell you. If your friend is living in sinful life, God loves that person. That is not what God says. Jesus Christ died for you and he wants to wash you with his precious blood and wants to make you clean. But if somebody doesn't tell that person is not going to automatically come to the Lord. The word of God says in Romans chapter 10, how they will know without a preacher. Amen. And who will go and tell them? If you don't tell somebody, they're not going to know about Jesus Christ. So somebody has to have courage. If your boss, if your friend, if your neighbor doing something wrong or doesn't know Lord, it is your duty to tell them. Sometimes you say, oh, then I'm going to lose my friend. You remember what we learned last week? Do not unequally yoke with unbelievers. You cannot have intimate relationship with an unsaved people and thinking, if I tell that person something, he's going to break up the friendship, or he may not like me, or she may not like me. You have to love the Lord more than people. If you love the Lord and then he gives you courage to tell that person, they may not like you, but later on, just like St. Paul says, I wrote this letter and I knew that these people will not like it, but I wrote it anyhow and I do not regret. I do not feel sorry that I wrote it. I repented, but I am not repenting. And so he said, that sorry, what for what? For a season. But when they start thinking, oh, Paul was right. If he didn't write to us, we won't be changing our mind and life. Verse 9.
Now I rejoice, not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing.
Right. So he said, now I rejoice. Rejoice for what? I made you sorry, but that sorry, or that sorrowful heart you have, that was for repentance. That means if the message comes to you and that message tells you you are a sinner or you are doing something wrong, what does it mean? Repent. That's what the word of God says. Without repentance, there is no heaven. God is not going to take everybody automatically. People are thinking God is so love, so he will take everybody without repentance. Jesus Christ first says, repent. And what? The kingdom of God is at hand. He started preaching with repentance. John the Baptist came and what he says? Repent. Peter said, repent. Paul says, repent. Each and every man of God says, repent. Nowadays, no church is talking about repentance. They said, whatever you do, that's okay. They said, once you're saved, saved forever. Doesn't matter what you do, your name is written in heaven. My Bible says your name is written in heaven, that name can be wiped out if you sin and go against God.
Yes, sir.
The word of God says, be faithful what? Until death.
Yes. Yeah, that's right.
You cannot be faithful for 10 days and do whatever you want to do. You have to be faithful until you die. Otherwise, the judgment is hanging over the people. But the judgment is not for the believers. He said, you pass from death unto life and there is no condemnation. If you stay in Jesus Christ, if you love the Lord and follow the Lord. That's why St. Paul saying, you know, my letter made you sorry. That was for a season. But now, he says, I didn't do any damage to you. If you didn't repent, then what? He said, excommunicate that person from the church. And do not have any fellowship with that person. And if you don't have a courage, I'll come myself and do it. But he said, that damage didn't happen. Maybe they repented. Maybe they came to the Lord and some of the people start thinking, thank God for St. Paul having this courage to tell us. Otherwise, we would not be changing.
Sure.
Verse 10.
For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh.
So what is saying? For the godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation. That means real repentance, real change of heart brings salvation. There are some people, they do something wrong and they repent. They might cry, oh, I did something wrong. and I'm sorry about it. That kind of repentance is nothing. When you repent, repent from your heart and what? Repentance means turn around. Turn around means what? You're going wrong way, you turn to God. People are going away from God. When you say repent means turn around, turn to God. So he says real repentance came and they came to the Lord. For the godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. Means once you are repented and sorrowed for your life and say, Lord, forgive my sins, and you just completely, totally sold out to God, you're not going to say, why did I do this? Why did I come to the Lord? I had wonderful time before I came to the Lord. You could go to bar and I could do anything. Why did I come to the Lord Jesus Christ? If the person is really repented, he will never say that. But the person who is not really repented and somebody forced him to be Christian, then he might be thinking, I'm not going to stay in this Christianity. It's not fun anymore. But that person means not he's repented. Repented means completely change of heart. And he says, once you got change of heart, you are not going to be thinking, why did I do this? But he says, but the sorrow of the world worketh what? Death. What is the sorrow of the world? You do anything, the worldly thing. You start drinking, there is a sorrow. If you're smoking, there is a later on sorrow. If you're doing something like a sinful activity, prostitution or anything, there is a sorrow behind it. Not only sorrow means, what does sorrow? Sorrow will bring death. Not only physical death, but what? Eternal death. So when you're playing with the sin, it seems like nothing. A joy for the season. But it will do damage for a lifetime. But thank God, once you repented, it's gone. All these dangers are gone. Because our God is a good God. The once person said, Lord, I'm sorry. I will never do it again. I'm sorry what happened. God renews his life.
Yes, sir.
And the word of God says, we just read it last couple of weeks. The outward body perishes every day, but inward man getting renewed day by day. That means real man is what? Your spirit man.
Yes, sir.
You damage your body doing outward things, smoking, drinking, gambling, or doing all kinds of physical sin. But he says, once we came to the Lord, what happened? That all passed. That is not in the memory of God. God is not going to say 10 years from, you know why? I hate you because you were doing this. No, it's gone. Now he said, I'm going to use you. Use you for my glory. Because now you went through all these trials and tribulations and sorrows and pain. Now you are able to comfort somebody. You are able to tell somebody your story. Why this happened to you and how God changed you. You cannot fool God. You can fool man. You cannot fool God. God knows how the person is really repented or not really repented. Really changed or not really changed. If you really change inside, then you can see the fruit outside.
Amen.
He says, produce the fruit of what? Repentance. People are going to see the changes. They are going to see something is happening. And once you are in the planted in the Lord, and then you start feeding from the Word of God, no sickness, no disease, no cancer has power. Because blood of Jesus Christ has power to destroy all the cancer cells. Not a single cancer can stay in our body. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. We don't want to walk in death. We want to walk in life. Verse 11.
For behold, this selfsame thing, that ye sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you, yea, what clearing of yourselves, yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge. In all things ye have proved yourselves to be clear in this matter.
He said, now I see the clear changes in you. You went through all these troubles, but now I see the clear changes in your life. Okay, verse 12.
Wherefore, though I wrote unto you, I did it not for his cause that had done the wrong, nor for his cause that suffered wrong, but that our care for you in the sight of God might appear unto you. Therefore, we were comforted in your comfort, yea, and exceedingly the more joyed we for the joy of Titus, because his spirit was refreshed by you all.
So he's trying to say, we saw all of these things happening. You go into sorrow and trouble and pain and everything. But now we see some changes. And I got a proof that Titus coming to me and telling all about you. And so he comforted me. So I got a joy in my heart. Thank God that Corinthian church is doing fine.
Yes, sir.
My letter didn't do any damage to them, but my letter did something good to them. And so in short, St. Paul is saying, I'm rejoicing, I'm having comfort in my spirit because I got a good report from Titus. Verse 14.
For if I have boasted anything to him of you, I am not ashamed, but as we spake all things to you in truth, even so our boasting, which I made before Titus, is found in truth.
So he's trying to say, when I send Titus to you, if Titus also might be afraid. Now Paul wrote these letters and Paul telling me about this Corinthian church, they are doing something wrong. Now what I'm going to do, if the Paul is a great man, Titus is, comparing to Paul, is nobody. But he went there. Paul said, don't worry. They made a mistake, but these people are good people. Once they will know you,
yes,
they will listen to you. You go. So the Titus goes there, and Titus is a good man. So he start preaching to them and start encouraging them. Don't worry. Don't be mad at Paul. Paul is a good man. And Paul, whatever he wrote to you, is for your good. And he might have encouraged those people. He comes back to give the report to Paul. What is happening in the Corinthian church?
Amen.
So Paul says, I am really comforted listening to Titus. And he says, I brag about this church to Titus. He said, these people are good and this, but my bragging about this church didn't go in vain. It came true. That means whatever I said, Titus found out. These people, overall, they are not bad people. They are good people. And they have mind to change. You know, the person can make a mistake.
Sure.
If the person doesn't want to change, that person we say is a bad person. But the person who admits the mistakes and tries to change, that's a good person. Because people make mistakes. We are all sinners. The Word of God says, all have sinned and what? Come short of the glory of God. But we have to have mind to change. Some people do not want to change. And that's so bad. But if you say, I want to change. I want to live a changed life. I want to live a godly life. And I want to live the prosperous life. The healthy life for the Lord. As long as we are alive, there is an answer. You know, if the person dies, after that we cannot do anything. We cannot change that person after that person is dead. But as long as that person is alive, we have chances to bring that person to the Lord. And once that person comes to the Lord, no matter how long it took, if that person comes to the Lord, it's a good news. You remember a couple of weeks ago, I gave you the story. There was a lady. She was in Philadelphia. She came to church. She was Hindu, worshipping Hindu idols. And she went to Florida. Her husband died in the car accident. He was Hindu. After that, her daughter and son-in-law sold their house and went there to comfort her. But she doesn't want to listen to anything about Christ. She got a blindness in her eye. And she wanted to go for surgery. And she got so scared. that if something happened in the surgery and I'll be blind again, so what? So they called me and said, talk to her and pray with her. They thought Pastor Peter will just say, hello, mother, I'm going to pray for you and everything will be all right. Mm-hmm. Pastor Peter doesn't do that. Do you want to change? She said, no. Did you pray to your God? Yes. To whom you prayed? I prayed to Rama. I said, did you hear any your Mahabharata, Gita, or anywhere Rama healed anybody? No. Then you prayed to Rama, that Rama is not going to hear your prayer. She said, oh, that's okay, because I am worshipping him this many years. I don't want to change. I said, listen, mother, God is not going to heal you automatically. You have to change. Matthew chapter 18 verse 19 says, two people agree on earth, touching anything, our Heavenly Father will hear the prayer. If you do not agree with my God can heal you, then my prayer is not going to work for you. I said, you have to repent of your sins and come to Jesus Christ, then Jesus Christ will heal you. And so I gave the Bible scriptures and talked with her. And I said, mother, I'm not going to pray for your healing right now. But I'm going to pray that tonight, before you go to bed, you will give your heart to Jesus Christ. And I left it there. That night, that lady cried to God with the tears, gave her heart to Jesus Christ, took her all these Hindu gods, threw it in the trash, completely transformed.
Amen.
And now, when I talked to her other day, she said, oh, Pastor Peter, thank you for your prayers. God really changed my heart. That was not a soft talking. I was very harsh on her. But she repented. And you know what she said last time I talked to her? Pastor Peter, praise the Lord. I say, praise the Lord, mother. She said, now I go to church with my daughter and my son-in-law. I pray every day. I'm completely changed. My life is changed. I got happiness and joy because of Jesus Christ. And I prayed with her and I said, thank you, mother, for giving your heart to Jesus Christ. And she said, praise the Lord. And I said, hallelujah. She said, hallelujah. What I'm trying to say, that's called real repentance.
Amen.
So some people wants to change, some people do not want to change. So here the Saint Paul is saying, thank God, these people are changed, repented. Here Titus comes and give us a good story. Okay, let's read verse 15.
And his inward affection is more abundant toward you, whilst he remembereth the obedience of you all, how with fear and trembling he received him. I rejoice therefore that I have confidence in you in all things.
So finally he said, I'm so glad, O Corinthians, you received Titus gladly. He came and he worked with you. He got back to me, gave me a report. So he is so rejoicing. He said, I rejoice therefore that I have confidence in you all things. That means he said, I am not doubting anymore about you. I have full confidence. Can any pastor say about this church, I have confidence in my church members that they will continuously work for God and rejoice in the Lord and grow in the grace and the knowledge of God? The pastor will be happiest man on earth, because we have to have love and confidence on his people. If you start kicking that person all the time, but you say, I know you are going to change one day. I believe that one day God is going to use you and change you, because we are not talking negative, we're talking something positive. And God will change it. There is nothing impossible with God. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. And thank you, Lord, for giving us grace to understand your words. Give us grace, Lord Jesus, not to hate anyone, but love everyone. Christ. cleanse us with his precious blood, and make us holy people to God. Father, bless us and use us mightily for the glory of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen,
amen.
And amen. Please be seated.